Father, we pray tonight that hymn, as it directs us, as we are singing, to pray straight to you. Teach me to pray. Teach us to pray. And we ask that you teach us to pray in quantity, constantly in prayer, never ceasing. Help us to turn to you. Help us not to have you in our mind on the back burner all day long, but constantly communing with you. What a privilege and joy that is. Help us to do so. And the quality of our prayers, Father, thinking about your will being done over ours always, thinking about the example prayers in Scripture from the Psalms and in Daniel and the Lord's Prayer and many other places, thinking about your glory first and just turning to you, Lord, and then pleading with you in intercession and pleading with you in request and pleading with you as we work through the hardships of life, the lament moments, to know that you are the God that can handle it always. There's no doubt. Thank you so much that you do answer prayer. And thank you very much for your love. Thank you for tonight. And thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, good to have you here. Good to have you online. Might as well maybe address the mini elephant in the room. Our teenagers are out and about, not because Eddie has lost complete control, but because they were picking up branches from behind the church that was asked to pick up and get out tonight. So even now I spot them out there, and I think we're good. I think we're good. So I'm going to approach tonight in a way that I did last time I had Wednesday night. If you could turn your Bibles to Psalm 105, and we'll pray in the study. I've asked some of our guys to pray as we make our way through the study tonight. So Psalm 105, glad to be with you. As you probably know, Don's on vacation all week this week. He's gone on Sunday, and he'll be back next Wednesday. And as I think about it, too, I might as well announce this now. On Wednesday next week, I'm pretty sure we are going to actually be back in the kitchen area to meet, as we have the giveaway being set up in here. So when you do come next Wednesday, I think we're going to be set up back in the fellowship area back there by the kitchen. But anyway, Psalm 105, let me read verses 1 through 7. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praise to him, speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name, let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and his judgments uttered by his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Tonight, I want to take us through those first seven verses, and I want to focus on something I brought up a week and a half ago as we got done with our evangelism seminar. Something that God really struck me on was the idea that the walk of our faith needs to be an adventure. And I want to look at it in three different ways. Indeed, I want to look at the part of the adventure of being evangelism, but also tucked it neatly fit in these seven verses is a realization of the adventure of prayer and the adventure of Bible reading. And maybe by tonight's end, if you were here a week and a half ago, you may recall this, but maybe by tonight's end, I can convince, I don't see her, but Abby Spinney, that adventures are a good thing. So an adventure, if you looked it up in the dictionary, it says, an unusual and exciting, typically hazardous experience or activity. What have been some of your most meaningful adventures in your life? Just think about it for a minute. What has been meaningful to you? What has been the kind of adventure that has altered you? You're going this direction, now you're going this direction. What has played a tremendous role in your life? Chances are that adventure was full of both mountains and valleys. But some of the best adventures that we've had in our life so far include the joy and the pain, the happy and the sorrow. They include all of it. And how have they changed your life? How has God used them, as Romans 8:28 says, as he uses all things together for our good? I have a couple quotes for you here on adventures. Two of them are from Pilgrim's Progress. The older I get, the more I learn to really appreciate that book. On adventure, one quote is, "Who would true valor see? Let him come hither. One here will constant be, come wind, come weather. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim." A pilgrim is a person that a pilgrim that's a Christian is a person that the Lord takes on an adventure. And then the character in Pilgrim's Progress, the name Valiant for Truth is his name, and he said, "I am going to my father's, and though with great difficulty I am got hither, yet now I do not repent me of all the trouble I have been at to arrive where I am. My sword I give to him that shall succeed me in my pilgrimage, and my courage and skill to him that can get it. My marks and scars I carry with me to be a witness for me that I have fought his battles, who now will be my rewarder." Valiant for Truth went on an adventure, and he's telling that to Christian in this story and encouraging him the same. And then finally, you may know of my love for the Lord of the Rings in The Hobbit. The quote, "Farewell," by Bilbo Baggins. "Farewell, King Under the Mountain," he said. "This is a bitter adventure if it must end so, and not a mountain of gold can amend it. Yet I am glad that I have shared in your perils. That has been more than any Baggins deserves." Just want to encourage us tonight that indeed life is an adventure, but for the Christian, do we know what makes up our adventure? Three things to look at tonight. Number one, the adventure of evangelism. And again, as you know well, we have been thinking and praying and hitting that one very hard lately. As we look at verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 105, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders." Verse 1, the first part, 1a and 2a, focus on the general, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and then skipping to 2a, sing to him, sing praises to him. But then, as the Psalms often do, that second phrase gets more specific. So 1b and 2b, make known his deeds among the peoples, speak all his wonders. So in the first verse, we're looking at generally giving thanks and calling upon him, but specifically, how are we giving thanks? We're giving thanks in such a way that makes known his deeds among the peoples. And in verse 2, generally singing to him, but specifically speak of all his wonders. And those words, deeds and wonders, are very closely connected. If you looked at the Hebrew words, they kind of sound a lot alike, which I'm sure plays into the memory of how the Hebrew language works for those that knew the language. The deeds are focused more on God's doings. Like, God did that. God did that. And in verse 2, his works, the wonders, is how did he do that? This is amazing. So we're praising God and singing about him in that God did that. Wow, he's in control. How did he do that? This is amazing. I don't know, but he did it. Common denominator, of course, being God and doing great things. And the psalmist here is so excited. Often I think when we read scripture in our mind, we read it pretty monotone, but that's not at all how the psalmist is expressing himself in this psalm. He is so excited about giving thanks to the Lord that it just spills over, and he says, make known his deeds among the peoples. I'm not just talking about the nation of Israel here. We're talking about the nations around Israel, the pagans, the heathen. But the goal of the Old Testament, often we sum it up in a way that I think, and I say we, I don't believe in our church we do this so much, but people can sum it up in a way that thinks that God's sole plan was just to wipe out anyone that wasn't a Jew, that was not part of Israel. God's plan in the Old Testament and the New Testament was to reach humanity with the truth. And some from these pagan nations actually did heed the truth and turned to the Lord and became part of the nation Israel. And of course, in the church age, it's all of us. The focus is on the church, the family. And our goal is to reach the nations. And it can be the nations around the world, but that's the nations within our own country too, isn't it? All the people groups that more and more are coming from, as we very well know, from outside of our nation into our nation. We are to give God thanks and let it spill over in such a way that it'll reach everyone. And when we are so full of thanks, we can't help ourselves. I think you and I know some people that are just so grateful in their life for what God did, especially the core of their salvation, that when somebody asks them anything about God, they may well up in tears. They're just so thankful. Or they get a big smile on their face. They can't help themselves. Let me tell you about what God did. Let me tell you how he changed my life. You know what happened yesterday? God did that. I am so thankful. I've got so much to be thankful for. And any good thing that comes in my life comes from above. Do you know the missionary Nate Saint? Does that name ring a bell? As I thought about this and studied this out, Nate Saint came to mind. He was one of the four that indeed was a martyr in, I think, the early 1950s when a group of men were trying to reach the Auca Indians in Ecuador. And Nate Saint, he's got a great biography. I had a chance to read it months ago. His family encouraged his growth, encouraged him to learn things. They were just that kind of family that they really encouraged their kids to get into anything with all they got, with full gusto. And Nate, before he knew it, as he got older, started to fall in love with planes. The first time he rode a plane, it just thrilled him. He's like, I got to do this in my life. So that's the next several years in his life. He went into learning how to become a pilot, and then he found himself in the South America region, I think Mexico a little bit, and then in Peru and Ecuador and Venezuela and those countries. And as the years went on, a group of men started to come and realize we want to reach these Auca Indians, known for their savagery, known for being really terrible, known for their killings and murder and things. And long story short, you probably know the story as well. They finally landed. They finally made contact in the deep jungle. And through some circumstances that came out later that was kind of a mistake, but still terrible, the Auca Indians attacked and killed the four men. And Nate Saint was one of them. But he knew, and he showed the rest of us, that evangelism is an adventure. He was not afraid to live for the right purposes. He was not afraid to... Those guys had decided ahead of time, listen, if we're attacked, we're not fighting back. This is part of the adventure. And yes, as terrible as it is when you lose a life, a loved one, I'm sure that they walked into heaven thankful that God would use them, knowing that their adventure had ended on earth, now is in heaven forever, and if they had to do it again, they would do nothing different. He lived his life for the Lord. He made that his adventure. He believed that evangelism was so important, as many other godly men and women do that you and I know, because it's about winning souls. Someone had to care enough for me to decide to share the gospel with over and over and over and over again in this church until finally one day, ding, 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 at 8 years old, it made sense and I believed. Thankfully, there was convicted men and women that knew their adventure was to share the gospel for the sake of winning souls. So my challenge is, may we let go of our pursuits to win stuff that the Bible says will rot or corrupt or will lose or will be destroyed, but may God use us to win souls. I'm going to ask Joel to come tonight and pray to that end.
Let's pray. God, we come before you tonight, and as Mike has just shared, our desire is that we would win souls for you. Amen. And we come before you and we acknowledge that oftentimes we do not have that desire. Oftentimes we are perhaps scared or ashamed to proclaim your name and the works that you have done. And so our prayer is that you would give us that desire. Our prayer is that you would give us opportunities. Our prayer is that you would give us the boldness and that you would give us the words to say so that we can proclaim your name. And as we think about that, we think about this past weekend with the Family Fun Day, we think about the upcoming giveaway, these opportunities that you have in this church, and I pray that we would take advantage of those opportunities as community members come into this church. Our prayer is that we would have the boldness to proclaim your name, and that you would just give us the words and the desire to speak. Certainly, God, as we think about the evangelism of the lost, we reflect on what you have done in our own individual lives and the change that you have wrought for us, and we are just grateful for that. And may it be that as we think about the transformation that you have accomplished in our lives, that we would have a passion to share that with the lost and the dying. I pray for the Boyds as well, as they just recently came and shared their ministry with us, and I just pray that you would be with them as they are working around the world, and we just pray that you would be with them. We think about all of our missionaries, that they would have the opportunities and the contacts in their respective mission fields. But we also acknowledge that it's not just missionaries who need to proclaim your name, it is all of us. And we pray that you would work in our lives, work in this church, that would may be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Joel. And, Daniel and his son Cole had a very meaningful time with us. I thought I'd pass that along on Tuesday morning. Eddie and I and Daniel and Cole had a chance to go down to get a coffee together, which some of you ladies here spotted us walking in. But he just mentioned how well-received they felt. He was encouraged by the smiles and the recognition during his message, the silent communication he provided him, and just it meant a lot to him. So good job, church. Thank you. Verse 3 and 4, the adventure of prayer. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. What word do you think shows up the most in those verses? Seek, that's right, seek. Strive for, long for. And who? The Lord. What in these verses? His strength and face. When? Always, continually. So it's both a quantity, all the time, don't ever give up, don't stop doing it, and quality, the focus, of course, the Lord, his strength, and his face. It reminded me that prayer cannot be a casual activity. It needs to be an activity of commitment, an activity that we commit to just because not because I have to check this off my list today, I prayed in the morning, I'm good to go, but a commitment of stopping what we're doing and praying, or turning off the radio and praying, or getting off of our phone and praying, or when someone, as we've been reminded, someone comes up and says, would you please pray for me? Yes, I will pray for you. Well, maybe I should pray right now, praying immediately, just working constantly at prayer. It is a hard thing, but it does yield much. Boy, I was convicted several months ago, maybe about a year ago. I was reading through an article on the internet that I get in my email about prayer. And it says we struggle with prayer in two ways often. Number one, we're too busy. We just got our day packed. There's no time to pray. I wake up just with enough time in the morning to get breakfast, help get the kids around, And hurry and read through, Lord, help bless my day. And then off we go. And then by the time it's time to pray at night, Lord, thank you for this day. I love you. You're tired. You're out, right? So busy. That's not the adventure of life that I'm supposed to go on. And that's not the adventure of prayer. The adventure of prayer is filled with moments or maybe half hours, hours or whatever, where I'm asking God to do. Why do I think that I have the same power and strength that God has in order to accomplish these things when often all God is saying is, stop, Mike, pray to me and watch me work, right? That's the power of prayer. That's the adventure of prayer. How many times have we prayed in our life and act surprised when God actually answered the prayer? Like, wow, I didn't have to do that. Well, of course not. He's the one that does everything that's good, right? I shouldn't ever be surprised when he answers prayer, because my adventure should be, Lord, I trust you. I believe in you. You are all powerful, and I'm going to pray, and I know you're going to take care of whatever it is. Maybe it's years or decades down the road. I don't know. But God, you do it in your time, and I know you can do that. So too busy. And secondly, the thing that convicted me was the phrase that often we're too lazy to pray. And that bothered me, because immediately I thought, no, I work really hard. But the point of the article says, you may work really hard, but sometimes the harder work is forcing yourself to stop and believe and pray, isn't it? Sometimes the harder work is saying, no, I'm not moving. I'm putting my head down on this desk or on this bed or whatever it is, and I'm going to make myself stay still and make myself focus on the Lord and make myself pray to him, because indeed he wants me to. It's for my good, and he does amazing things. So that's the one that convicted me, but that's the one that is, I pray the Lord would use to help me with better with my adventure in prayer. I remember a moment too, a number of years ago, when I was working at a factory down below Scranton a little bit, when I was going to school that way, and a moment of going closer to the Lord through prayer. I was having just a horrible night, and things were going awful, and I worked in a factory where you could go outside. There's several silos out there. Nobody was around. I just found myself banging on the side of a silo saying, I've had it. I'm tired. I don't think I can take anymore. And praying, God, help me. Help me. I am so weary. I feel like I'm going to lose it. I am just so tired of all of this. And that was a moment for me learning once again from experience, God can handle that kind of prayer. He can handle everything I've got. Go to him. Don't stuff it inside. Go to him and trust him. Part of the adventure in our pain, in our valleys, is turning to the Lord in prayer and calling upon him. Father, help me. Help me. I need you. Please help me. And watching him at work. What an adventure that is. How better that is than me trying to dig myself out of my own hole or dig myself out of my own problems. The adventure of prayer. Prayer ultimately is an adventure because it's something no other God can offer. It's us talking to the living God. Millions and millions and millions, maybe probably billions of people have talked to gods, and their gods cannot answer. They're false. They're made of wood and stone. They're deaf. They're mute. They're dumb. There's nothing those gods can do. Our God is the only one that can hear our prayers. So I've asked Mark if he can come and pray about our praying.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly here this evening. You have commanded us to pray. Pray without ceasing. Uplift our neighbors, our friends, our relatives before you in prayer. We just ask it. You give us a burden to pray for those others and speak boldly for you, dear Heavenly Father. We know that everything good comes from you. You've given us valleys to make us stronger. Help us to pray to you to lay our burdens before you, dear Heavenly Father. We know you heal. We know you have the power to give us the good days, dear Heavenly Father, and we just so humbled by that, and we just ask it. We look to you. Help us to lift our leaders up before you, our pastors, those that serve in our church, especially those in youth group right now and the ones with Kids for Truth. Help us to pray for them. Help them to speak boldly for you, be the witness and testimony that you would have them to be, dear Heavenly Father. Help us to uplift the other elected officials in our church, the deacons, the trustees, as they freely give of their time to serve you, dear Heavenly Father. We just pray that you especially be with Don and Lynn this week also as they're away on vacation. Guide them, give them a time of relaxation. Bring them back rejuvenated and ready to reinforce their values and the life that you have given to them, dear Heavenly Father. We just thank you for this time that we can come together publicly here this evening for this time of prayer. You commanded us to read your word, study your word, meditate on your word, dear Heavenly Father, and to pray without ceasing. And we just bring it all before you, lay it all at your feet, dear Heavenly Father. We just thank you for everything that you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. Verse 5, 6, and 7 of this psalm. This is a longer psalm as far as psalms go. But it's not uncommon in the sense, especially in these sections of the Psalms, where it opens up with an expression of praise, an expression of prayer, an expression of our love for, our need for love for the Scripture. So in verse 5, it says, "Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and his judgments uttered by his mouth, O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." So the adventure of Bible study, the adventure of Bible reading, and in this case, the record in Psalm 105, and it goes all through Psalm 105 and right into Psalm 106, is we're following what happened in Israel's history from Abraham to the judges. And how do we learn about their history? Through Bible reading. How did the children of Israel learn about history as they become generations and generations more removed? Either through the oral passing of the word, or as scripture became inspired, as scripture was collected and written down, Bible reading. The reading of God's word out loud to everybody, or in some cases, for those who had it, reading the Bible. It is a special privilege we have. As prayer indeed is about us talking to God, as you know, Bible reading is about God talking to us. And again, no other God does that. There are many false gods, and Satan has used many false books in order to give writings for people to study and lead people astray. But only our God has the power to give humanity, people, the living word. We read a book that is eternal. Wow, that is amazing. So, you know, Bible reading, Israel's heritage here, one thing specifically, if we read through the whole psalm and the next psalm, and then as you read through historical narrative in the Old Testament, maybe we ask ourselves a little bit and say, you know what, that's not my heritage. I'm an American. You know, I can't claim these things because I'm not a Jew. My descendants are from England and Germany or whatever it may be. But, you know, often, again, we think along the lines of the physical and not the spiritual. It's a joy and a privilege to study God's word and the historical narratives because that's our spiritual heritage. You and I know, starting from Abraham on down, who ultimately came in that line? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our spiritual heritage we're looking at. No, I'm not a Jew, and I don't think there's any Jews in this room, but does it matter? That's our spiritual story right there. That's our spiritual heritage, how God worked wonders and marvels all through history to the point where Jesus Christ finally came to earth and did what he did, died and buried and was resurrected. That's our spiritual heritage. This word that we have is our bread of life and the living water, that's Jesus, we feed our souls when we read. May God help me to be less concerned with feeding my stomach and more concerned with feeding my souls. I can't help but thinking about Bibles and Bible reading and about the persecuted church today. Are you amazed how people that are part of our brothers and sisters, the persecuted church, will do about anything to get their hands on a Bible? Isn't that amazing? Why? They often do it at high risk to their life. The answer ultimately is they get it. They understand the adventure. And part of their adventure in life, in spite of the pain and the sorrow and the loss and the persecution, is taking this book, God's Word, and living and clinging to it and having it change their lives. They understand it's their source of hope. They understand that it is their source of transformation. They understand that they desperately need it in order to make it through this life. But we often get fooled into thinking we don't need it or we can have it on occasion or whatever because we're so comfortable in the way that we live. Still, even though some things in our world may have shaken us up a bit these last few years, we're still very comfortable in materialism often in our country. And I just pray that God's word would help me shake out of that mindset. It's not the physical that I need to focus on. It's not the stuff. I need his word, and I need to embrace it as the adventure that will change me from the inside out. My journey needs to lead me to be like Jesus Christ, not like anyone else, but like Jesus. And if Jesus studied his Bible, and he did, then what about us? Bible study is an adventure because God is talking to us through his word. He is willing to tell us anything and everything. We just need to go to it. And may he help us consistently go to it. May he help us not to do it again as an obligation. I checked this off the list, but a desire. 176 verses in Psalm 119 tell us what David thinks about the word. You know, statutes, testimonies, law, precepts, commands. He delights in it. And David was a godly man. So may we follow his example just to delight on it, and may that adventure take us to wonderful places as believers. So I asked Steve if he would come tonight and pray for our adventure in studying God's word. Thanks.
Yes, Lord, give us that desire, Lord, that you so want us to have. You were the one that saved us. You're the one that glorifies through us. You give us that gift in the morning. You close our eyes at night, and then you're the one that wakes us up the next morning, if so be. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the opportunity that we do have in this nation. Many nations around the world don't even have the Bibles in their own language, maybe. Help us, Lord, to take that time, either in the morning or evening or with our iPhones during the day. We have the word on us each and every day. Help us to look at it. Help us to read it. We don't necessarily need to read an entire book in one day, but, Lord, we can certainly read a chapter, a couple of verses, and just meditate upon those, Lord, as we go throughout our day. We have the power of your word. We have the prayer that we can keep within our minds. We know that your word comforts our souls. It gives us that peace that only you can give us, Lord. When everything is going what seems like astray around us, that we are in those moments of stress like Mike talked about, we just want to take down a wall or just pound our fist or just go to our knees and scream sometimes, Lord. That's okay. We can do that before you. And Lord, you are there with your word. Your word promises that you will never forsake us. You will never lead us astray. And like Mike says, this is an adventure. Each story, each psalm, each word, New Testament and Old Testament, the stories, these are real people inspired, given the word was written through you, Lord. What a blessing. Help us to realize that each moment. Those mornings when we do wake up late, maybe we're exhausted from the night before, take that time, take that few moments to open the word, to ask God, the Lord, to guide us through that day. And when we do that, Lord, we know our days are much better for it. The days when we go for maybe 2, 3, 4, maybe even a week at times in our lives, we've just not picked up the Bible, and we can feel the energy leaving our souls, leaving our body, because we haven't been revived with your word, with the truth. The only truth that we have, Lord, is in you. All other things are against you. Those things that we strive for in this life, maybe a newer car or a house, you will bless us with those, and you have blessed us with those. But Lord, they aren't it. They are not what we are here for. We are here to serve you and to evangelize, to show others around us, Lord, the love, and to tell our story. Show our story in our actions with our caring, our kindness, our love, companionship, mentoring, whatever that is, Lord. Each and every one of us has a different gift, one that is unique within us, maybe, that you have allowed us to use for your glory. And we just need to search that out, and don't be afraid to take it and run with it and use it, because the joy, will, that fear that we may have will turn to joy in a very, very short time, Lord. We have all felt that. We have all been there. Help us to go back to those days or weeks following our salvation. Help us to realize that energy that we had, and to use that, and to use that with the wisdom that you've given us, to use that with the words, the mentorship, the friendships, the church. Each and every one of us has been touched by others right in this building tonight, and it's because of what they have done for us or prayed for us or did for us, or maybe we've just had a relationship over coffee. Every moment, help us to realize it's an opportunity to share your joy with someone else, Lord. And again, read our Bible. Take time to read our Bible in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. If you're at a place in your life where you're discouraged because it's so hard to consistently read the Bible, so hard to consistently make yourself pray, so hard to witness on a weekly basis. I don't remember what the context was exactly, but I remember Don and the wisdom that God gave him talked about just continue, don't stop calling on God's name. God, help me. Help me to do this. Please help me. And then again, I can't, no. God, help me. And that's a very audible reflection of draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Help me, Lord, to do this. Help me to gain victory. Help me to do it. And it's amazing how little by little the help comes, and little by little we find ourselves fully starting to do things that matter. And these three things tonight that we covered in our study, the prayer, the evangelism, the Bible reading, we could have added much more, whether it would be fellowship, communion, worship, or some other things that we're commanded to do. But they come when we step out in faith and say, no longer am I going to live in this way that is taking me away from what really matters, that's taking away from the purpose of my life. The purpose of my life is not to live in the temporary. The purpose of my life is not to get as much as I can get. The purpose of my life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And the pieces of that purpose, the adventure, includes knowing His Word and talking with Him, praying with Him, and telling others all about Christ. That's eternal in nature. That's forever stuff. Everything else, the touchable things, they go away. But that's eternal. And that's the thing that when we get to heaven one day and we share with one another and we once again meet one another or spend time with one another, we'll be talking about forever. You remember that time when we learned about Bible study? You remember that time when we learned about prayer and how it changed our life and how we got closer to God? How wonderful that is. Oh, just praise the Lord, and we'll break out in gratitude and singing. Let's go meet with Jesus right now, or whatever it may be in heaven. That's the forever things that will give us joy and joy and joy. And these disciplines in our life only help us to recognize it and groom us greater and greater for that day we're with Him forever. Let me conclude in prayer. Father, help us to take the steps of faith that we need to in order to do these things that we studied tonight. Thank you for this little clip of Psalm 105 and what it says right at the beginning of that psalm. And thank you so much for what you have taught us. Help us to witness. Help us to share our faith. Help us to pray. Help us to turn to you in all things. Help us to know your word. Help us to delight in it. There is nothing else like your word. We thank you so much. And thank you for all who gathered tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being online.